meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, it is Loveline. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. Monsieur Carolla will be here momentarily. I am here with the great pleasure of presenting to you Cheryl Hines from Curb Your Enthusiasm. And Cheryl is one of the rare guests on our show, actually knows our show, has listened to our show.
I love this show. I was just telling Dr. Drew that I sit and listen to it in my car even when I get to my house.
That is, are you okay? Have you seen a doctor recently?
No,
are you okay?
No, I
need some advice?
I just like him to see you.
Oh, my God. Yes, I'm here because I have to be here, and Adam, I have to suffer through every night with him. Now, again, Larry David is you play his wife.
Right.
Right? And this show is basically filmed without a script. It's sort of an outline of what's going to happen.
Yes, it is. It is filmed without a script. So we have an outline of the story, what's going to happen, and you just show up and...
Is it like they tell you where you have to get? Here's the setting. Here's the problem. You have to get...
No. So usually, I mean, it takes some getting used to working like that, because for the first two seasons, I would...
I'm going to interrupt you. Isn't it, though, like the improv comedy where they go, situation, profession, problem, go?
No, it's not that either.
You're a groundling, right? You were in the...
Exactly. I was in the groundlings, and... So it's not like improvising on stage when somebody just gives you a premise and a place.
Yeah.
So we know our place. I mean, if we're doing it in the living room at home, we know we're at home. But Larry might say, okay, in this scene, I'm going to come home and tell you my dad's coming over. You're probably not going to like what I have to tell you.
But you don't know what he's going to tell you.
Yeah, sometimes I have no idea what he's going to tell me. So we don't know where the scene is going.
I love this show. It's Sunday night, 10 p.m., HBO. It's the fourth season currently running?
It's the third season running, and we're about to start shooting our fourth
season. Yeah. How many shows in a season? 12 or 15?
10.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to measure it in cable increments.
I know. Right. Well, when you're Larry David, you don't have to shoot a lot of episodes.
I guess not. Both Adam and I have been bugging Ann, who books the show, to bring you or somebody from the show over here, because we just both really enjoy it.
That's so great.
So that's nice. Show's been nominated for Emmys.
Yeah.
And you are from Florida.
I am indeed. Yeah. Tallahassee.
And you listen to this show, right?
I do.
And so you hear how we... disparage Florida sometimes. We're really talking about Southern Florida when we do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, why?
Because it seems like all the nuts that had rolled down to California, they sort of tipped the country up and they rolled back down to the tip of Florida somewhere.
Yeah. When you start getting towards the bottom.
Yeah, everyone, when Adam and I used to, we spoke at Central Florida and Southern Florida. We've been around there.
You went there. I read that.
And we went down there. Everybody we met, everybody was sort of... driving us or wrangling us. It was always some guy with a kid and a wife in Michigan.
Yeah. I get it all.
They just get away to Florida. So.
And then they never go back.
They never go back.
They leave, like, yeah.
All right, so let's take some calls. The number again is 1-800-LOVE-191. As I said, Adam will be here just a couple minutes. He got corralled into, I guess, co-hosting Jimmy's show tonight, and that's live. And so as soon as that's over, he'll hop on over here. We'll, in the meantime, take some calls. This is Heather, who's 23.
Hi.
Hey, Heather.
Trying to make a long story short.
Good. She's from Florida, coincidentally.
Yeah, I know. Perfect.
What part of Florida?
Panama City.
Oh, see?
Right by Tallahassee.
Yeah, right by I can tell by your southern accent.
Thank you. Okay. My husband and I have been together for 6 years. Last year, about a year ago, we kind of had a threesome gone bad.
Uh-oh.
And
there could be an episode on
Curb.
On Curb Your Enthusiasm, yeah. When was this?
Last year.
And you had a girlfriend come in, or who was the other person?
Yeah, it was a girlfriend.
Somebody you knew.
Right.
And why did it go bad?
Basically, he kind of wanted to be with her.
Yeah.
And not so much me at that moment. And it really hurt my feelings, and it kind of made her feel bad. And
how long did that moment last?
2 hours.
No, I'm just curious if see, this would what did you expect, that he wouldn't touch her or wouldn't have sex with her?
No, I expect it to be part of it.
Oh, I see. He was focused on her. For how long, though, before you started flipping out?
Well, Let's see. Okay, well, he was with her, and, you know, I was kind of like, okay, I kind of want to be part of this. And so he brought me into the situation, and it was kind of like, well, when can I go back to her? How long do I have to do this with you, pretty much?
Ooh.
Yeah, so, and...
So you were, like, just in the corner playing Yahtzee while they were doing it?
Yeah.
That's not good at all.
I got to get this a little more clarification here. How did he try to bring you into this? What did he do to you?
I said, you know, I need to be a part of this, too.
And right.
So he came over to me, and, you know, we started doing stuff. And
then he was just buying time. You could see he was ready to go somewhere else.
Well, yeah, and he flat out said, you know.
Can I go now?
Yeah.
Are we there yet?
It does sound like it went a little bad. Well, I'll be honest.
And you know, we had been together for 5 years, and up until this point, we had, you know, great relationship, really faithful to each other, and, you know, we had done a lot of kinky stuff together, you know, and we're married, and, you know.
Do you have kids?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
And,
So, all right, look, what is the question?
Well, the question is, okay,
There's almost no such thing as a threesome gone good. Not when you're in a committed relationship, we're going to be with somebody for a long time. The feelings that are generated in a monogamous committed relationship when another person is brought into the mix, you cannot predict, and they are rarely good.
Right. We realized that, and we had talked about it at length, you know. And
what? Here comes the feelings. Good times.
We have done a lot of, you know, kinky things together, and, you know, to us, we were like, okay, well, this is just like, you know, a sex toy or whatever.
Name Marcia.
We're going to take out the emotions.
Yeah.
And but anyway, my feelings got hurt, and I got really, you know, I got really depressed, and kind of kicked into like a drug habit type of thing. And
you got into a drug habit?
Yeah.
What drug?
Oh dear.
Crystal.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
And but you know, over time, you know, we overcame that, and everything's, you know, good now, and, you know, but you know, now, like, we maybe have sex, like, maybe 3 times a month, and we don't do anything kinky anymore, and...
Are you both in recovery now, or just you?
Just me.
Okay, and is he an addict or an alcoholic? Yes.
Yeah, he's an alcoholic, yeah.
All right. So, keep going. So, well, you want to do something, you want to rekindle the old spirit?
Right, well, yeah.
How many kids do you guys have?
2.
How about focus on being a parent and try to create some stable intimacy, and don't worry about the arousal and the craziness? That was fun. Now it's time to have a relationship.
Well, yeah, that's all fine, but the thing, you know, like the kinky stuff kind of, it was a turn on to me, because I liked fulfilling his fantasy type of thing.
What do you want, and he doesn't give you any more fantasies?
Yeah, and now, you know, there's nothing really.
What do you wish he would ask you for?
I wish we did things like, we
what?
Used to do.
Like what?
Just, you know, just kinky things, just out of the ordinary.
Ma'am, I'm using the Corolla method here. You don't answer the question, you go off the air.
Oh, dear.
All right. Well, listen. Again, you have a lot more substantial things to worry about than kink in your sex life. You've got your addiction and your recovery to focus on. You've got 2 kids to worry about, and you've got a relationship that's been injured and needs to be really focused on. The intimacy in the relationship needs to be focused on. So go ahead and ask him if that sort of rekindles intimacy in some way. Go ahead and ask him for it. But usually, kink is a way of diverting intimacy, a way of getting away from it, just being, you know, distancing yourself from another person.
Is kink a verb?
Yes, if you try to kink. We'll check the Webster's dictionary.
I think the kink will come back.
Kink will come.
Yeah.
There you go. Lothario, 25.
Yeah, what's going on?
What's up?
Hey.
Yeah, I just, you know, giving you guys an update. I called back a while back ago. I was dating a stripper, and I thought we were moving into a serious relationship. I wanted to know what to expect.
Go ahead, tell me what to do.
Well, now I want to hear the update. So
I'm gonna take a break.
So you're married, and now you're happily.
We married the stripper?
No, that's what I'm imagining.
Oh.
Yeah. Now what's happened?
No, we were together for like 4 months, almost 5.
Well, give us the whole story. What? Were you the doorman or something? Is that right?
No. No, I was there with a friend for a bachelor party.
Right.
And,
okay.
You know, we kind of hooked up afterward.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. It just, I mean, it wasn't like what I expected, you know, complete chaos. It was more of She was a little too clingy, and like she wanted me, like she was a student, and she wanted me to support her and like, you know, have her, you know, move in with me and me pay her tuition and she can continue stripping because she wanted to open up some kind of business on her own.
A stripping club?
No. How-to
classes? So what's happened? So you've been seeing her for 4 months?
Yeah, well, I was, and I decided to cut it loose because it was that.
School for stripping will be called Grindlings instead of Groundlings. So go ahead. So Lothar, what's happening now?
No, my thing was, it wasn't so much like chaos. It was just more like.
What is your question now? What's up now?
I was wondering if her whole stripping was more acting out towards her.
Yes.
Okay, because like what she said was she was never like molested or anything like that. She just had really strict religious parents.
And they weren't physically abusive?
No.
Hmm?
Not at all. Because like she's got a little sister and her, I mean.
So they were just emotionally abusive to her?
Possibly, maybe. You know how you can, how some people can be so nice that it's almost like they're not even there. Like they're just like drones.
They're empty. Mm-hmm. There usually is a more aggressive side to that too, and that might have been what she lived under, the fear of sort of exposing the rage underneath. That can be a kind of neglectful or even sometimes overtly abusive.
So you just got sick of her being clingy and taking off her clothes all the time?
Was it a completely nude strip bar?
Yeah, it was. Okay.
Yeah, it turns out that makes a difference
in terms
of the personality profiles that choose that profession.
Why? Because it's like even... It just seems like it's even more extreme?
The people that have nothing on very commonly have severe abuse histories.
Aye. So. And did Dr. Drew tell you that going in?
Yeah, he will.
Yeah.
So what do you want from us now? Just give us the update and give you our blessing?
No, because the other thing is I'm kind of like, through the whole thing we, you know, had our fun, you know, threesomes and whatnot.
Oh, boy.
And I just like, once you've had the, you know.
Lothario, what are you calling about tonight? What can we do for you?
Okay. Is it habit forming? Because I'm kind of interested.
Yes, it's habit forming. I mean, because he's in a relationship that's just purely built on, again, this sort of arousal, this sort of experience of physicality.
And that's habit forming? If you're just like...
Young guy, and particularly people that are sort of maybe distancing themselves from their... It's like a drug. People will use it as a way of avoiding affect, avoiding feelings about... You know, creating an alteration of their sensorium. They sort of can dissociate into these. That's why people use the internet and things, too.
Right. So he needs to start looking in...
Just pay attention. He knows he's in over his head a little bit. She wants him to take care of her. There's all kind of boundary issues here. Just start paying attention to what you're feeling and set boundaries. Sam is 27. Sam.
Hello.
Yeah, this one intrigues us. Give us the question.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm straight to the point here, okay?
Oh, good.
Whenever I get excited, sexually aroused, well, actually, whenever I climax or get excited,
let me get that. Wait. Excited, sexually aroused, climax, excited?
I'm just throwing it all in together.
Yeah. Not necessarily in that order.
Yeah.
Anytime you get an erection,
okay.
Right, Sam?
Yeah. Whenever I get my load off, if you will.
Yeah, Sam, we kind of got the picture. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah.
My cheekbone, the area on my cheeks tend to break out.
Like an acne?
No. It's a rash?
Like a heat rash?
Yeah, like a heat rash. But however, whenever I run my finger across it to kind of wipe it off or whatever, little flakes of skin come off with it.
Do you get anything like in the fold on your nose, like by the nostrils?
No, my face is clean other than that.
Except for this area. Do you get dandruff or anything of that sort?
I do sometimes get a dandruff or whatever.
I think you're describing seborrhea. I really do.
But is it weird that it would just happen at a certain time?
I think it's just when he's flushing that he notices it.
That he feels it.
Yeah.
Is that possible, Sam, that you feel it? You don't notice it till...
that could be. And also, some of my sexual partners have made a point out that as well that temperature rises.
Are you drinking when you do this?
No.
Are you taking Viagra?
Oh, no.
Are you on any medication?
No.
Okay. Well, yeah, people flush. Their vessels dilate. That's part of the whole arousal mechanism.
A lot of people sweat.
Sweat? It's funny how that works.
A lot of people, you know, really get worked up.
Here is Aaron, who's 17. Aaron?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Aaron.
Hi,
good.
Aaron.
Well, Cheryl Hines is our guest. She's
Hi.
From Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Cheryl, you're a beautiful woman, and I love the show.
Well, thank you, Aaron.
17-year-old.
I think you're
so
great.
Smart.
I think you're a cool guy for putting up with Adam.
And God bless you.
Anderson, you're one of my favorite people. I love your style.
See? Even though he's never seen you. But Aaron, that's, yeah, I appreciate the acknowledging or at least paying attention to what I have to put up with. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, my question was, I met a real great girl last week, and I went out with her on the first date, and then we hooked up, and then she told me that she had a boyfriend who was in
Aaron,
college.
You sound like you're like 32.
You sound
well,
very mature.
You know, a lot of people tell me I'm mature for my age, and I mean, like, I will say Adam badmouths homeschoolers, but I'm a success story homeschooler. I'm 17. I'm working at a litigation firm making $22.50 an hour, so I'm doing pretty good.
Wow. Are you going to college? You're going to go?
Yes, my firm is putting me through school right now.
Are you sitting at home with, like, a smoking jacket on right now?
No, it's 2 in the morning in Maryland.
Your compatriot, Anderson, wants to know what your dad does for a living.
He's a psychologist.
Psychologist. Oh. How about your mom?
She's a stay-at-home mom.
Wow.
Oh, so and who taught you everything?
And it was just you, one child being homeschooled or more?
No, it's my older sister who's 21, who's at Oxford right now, and my younger sister is 13.
Well, there you go.
That's just good genes. All right, so you met this girl.
So I met this girl, and on the first date, we ended up hooking up, and I found out that she had the boyfriend who was 19 in college.
And how old is she?
She's 17 as well. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, she's obviously adverse to a relationship with me, and the
Why?
Thing I'm worried about
Why is she averse to that?
Is if she's going to be, you know, monogamous with me, or is she going to be, you know, tending to be cheating again because she cheated with me? And I want to know
no,
how to confront
her. Okay,
all
right, Aaron, you're kind of overthinking this, as somebody with a good mind might do. It is really common for people to try to cling to relationships when one person is in high school and the other's in college, or one's in one town and the other's in another town. And those things never work out. They just don't work. At your age, the distance is too great. You can't really visit. You can't overcome you can't.
Your life experiences are just different.
You're evolving lives in separate environments with new peers, and particularly when in college. And as she feels him pulling away, naturally enough, she's going to start looking for stuff where she is. And this is sort of her first attempt at finding a life preserver. Now, in reality, she could turn this into a relationship if she would accept the fact that idealized relationship with the boyfriend in college ain't going to work.
Right.
And it does not mean she's going to cheat on you.
It doesn't mean that. So I shouldn't even confront her with it. I should just go ahead and probably...
You should say, hey, look, you got to figure out what you're going to do here. I'm developing feelings for you. I'd like to be in a relationship with you. Yeah. I can't split it with somebody else.
I'm a little nervous because she is like... She was, I mean, you know the Miss America pageant?
Yep.
Well, she was Miss Maryland Junior, so I'm like already on edge with this because like...
that puts you on edge.
Yeah, because like I just feel lucky already, so I don't know if that's going to happen.
Oh, for heaven's sake. That's sweet. Listen, that's sweet, Aaron, but you can't, don't worry about the Miss Junior pageant.
It's
you know what I mean?
Yeah, quite a responsibility to burden, I know, Aaron. It's a shoulder.
No.
Carrying on.
Yeah. But yeah. I guess in
no.
The
don't
end,
worry. Don't sweat it. Here's the downside to being homeschooled, right? You don't get the social skills.
You know, I will say that Adam's stereotype about I will go along with it. 70% homeschoolers are just so queer.
Yeah, we talked to
him. I'm embarrassed to be with them.
Yeah, we talked to him. But here's what you miss out on is the social facility. You know, when every day you're in there with your peers and developing social skills. And,
that is true.
And
go ahead.
You.
I was just going to say that being homeschooled and being one of the ones that is able to interact with people, most of my friends go to school, and I don't see them every day, but I can definitely feel where you're coming from.
Yeah, calling all nerds.
No, maybe you are. But, again, just, you know, not that you are not capable socially and have a facility, it's just you maybe are behind a little bit in some of the skill and sophistication about it, and that's why you're worrying about things at 17, 18 that you might have been worrying about at 16 or 15.
Right.
You would have a higher level of understanding about dating and how these things work and the whole boyfriend
of college. Yeah, just let it ride. Yeah.
Just, but you know what I mean? But he needs to make some sort of statement about
to be honest with you and have a beer.
Sure.
No, she
17,
can't. Yeah, no, never mind.
Cheryl Hines, our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Curb Your Enthusiasm is the show of HBO, 10 o'clock, right? Sunday. Okay, this is Roxy 27.
Hey.
Hey.
My boyfriend, like 6 months ago, when went to the doctor, he had a lump on him, on his penis.
A lump on him?
A lump on him. And we thought it was going to go away, and it never went away, and it got nice and crusty. And
Nice. Keep going.
Doctor treated him for genital warts.
Yeah. Did it go away?
It's gone with a lot of treatment and a lot of burning and stuff. You're getting the cold burning treatment.
Right, right, right. Freezing it off.
But, and he's all clear, and he's had no symptoms for like a couple months now.
Yes, yes.
And,
you're building to something here. Go out with it.
No, if it's okay to reward him, can I give
oh,
him
that he's been such a good boy through all the frying and freezing?
Right.
See, it's questions like this that make me listen.
Calls like this?
Yeah, because I'm like, yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. How does that work out?
Genital to oral transmission of genital warts is pretty rare already. And if
oh, really?
Yeah. Oral, but genital is usually how it's transmitted.
Yeah,
so you can still get, you, Roxy, can still get genital warts, right? If you okay. if you have sex with him without a condom.
Right.
Okay?
Even if they're burned off?
Even if they're burned off. Now, you're not as contagious if mm-hmm. you don't see a wart, but he's mm-hmm. basically contagious for the time being. A certain percentage of wart viruses go away after about 3 to 5 years or mm-hmm. 7 years.
Gotcha.
But the ones that stick around are the ones that are associated with cervical cancer. So
really?
for Roxy, if you were to get them in your mouth, it's not a big deal. But if you get them in the genital area, then that is how you get cervical cancer.
Is that right?
Yeah.
We had been having sex for over a year before we even found out this was going on.
I understand.
I have nothing.
Well, you should assume you do. And you should talk to your gynecologist about it, okay? And in terms of you being able to give him oral sex, that should not be a big problem. The probability of you getting something that way is really, really low. But the probability already is that you have the warts on the cervix, and you really need to talk to your gynecologist about that.
So it's more dangerous for a woman to have them than a guy?
Yeah, it doesn't seem to make any difference for the guy.
Really?
Although there's some evidence now that it may be associated with penile cancer. It's also associated with anal cancer. So if guys get them back there, there's more of an issue. But anal cancers usually occur like an 80, 90-year-old. It's like a later.
Really?
Later,
yeah, because I can't
never heard of that.
No.
Yeah. Never seen one of those, huh?
I've never seen one of those, no.
With the nephrostomy tubes coming out of their back. It's lovely. So it is something much more of an issue for women's health. And,
gotcha.
And it is it's
That's why it's important for women to get checked all the time.
And it is its contagiousness that is that at issue for men, not that they're going to have problems per se. And there's some evidence that if you are circumcised, you're a little less at risk of contracting genital warts.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wait, if you are
circumcised. You're higher risk if you are not circumcised. We have to take a break. The guest tonight is Cheryl Hines. She is from HBO show Curb Your Enthusiasm, Sunday night, 10 p.m. She plays Larry David's wife.
Yes.
Anything we should look forward to coming up? Anything this week special?
This season we're going to have a lot of guest stars that I can't tell you.
You haven't invited us onto this show, but we love
you. You
want to
come on?
Sure.
Okay. I'll talk to Larry.
All right, good.
There's no
script would be perfect.
Yeah, exactly. You guys would fit right in. But the thing about Larry David is he's very secretive, and he doesn't like for anyone to know anything. I mean, I don't even know what the shows are about.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So, I can't tell you too much.
All right. Well, be that as it may, keep watching. And in the meantime, we will take a break. When we get back, the call will be from, let me pick a good one here.
Yeah, pick a good one.
Exploratory surgery. Wants to try anal sex with her. You want to do that one?
People love to talk about anal sex.
This is Jason. A girlfriend wants him to try anal sex with her, but he's afraid.
Mm.
We'll be back.
Jesus, Drew, you got an ass like a Sterno can.
It's nice, isn't it?
Nice and warm here. Hey, it's Loveline, everybody. I'm Adam. I'm back. I was doing Jimmy's show tonight, and I'm loaded. We drank.
I thought they undid that. First of all, can you admit that now, given what the Disney people have been saying about that behavior?
Jimmy had an open bar in his show, and they dressing room as well, but his show, and the Disney people, somebody threw up. This is the way it always works.
Yeah.
There's some lightweight ruins it for the rest of us. Mm-hmm.
So as a protest, you all went and drank tonight?
Well, we were drinking on the show. And I had about 5-6 shots of vodka, maybe 6-8 shots of vodka.
You know, like on air, you're
you're on
what's
air.
Really,
yeah.
What's really cool mm-hmm. about that, what is mm-hmm. just, it makes me tingle with delight,
mm-hmm.
is you got in your car and drove down here like a bat out of hell.
Uh-huh. How dare you? How dare you?
Okay.
I have a town car waiting for me.
Smart.
Yes. Okay. They knew we were going to get loaded, so we came on back. So I got a little situation. just gonna put it out there, and then we'll move forward.
Yeah.
I did Howard Stern again this morning, which meant...
did you mention Loveline like you said you would?
No, I forgot to do that. Oh, yeah. But went to bed at 1:30, got up at 3:30. Mm. 2 days in a row of 2 hour sleep. Yeah. Very brutal.
Bad times.
Drinking my red wine, you know, to kind of maintain.
So basically, you're going to have a seizure.
It's just quite possible. It'd be good radio. You could save
me. I'll hold the mic to your snorting, you know, foamy mouth. It'll be great.
So I just 2 hours sleep last two nights, and then I went into the Jimmy's show today, and I sort of announced, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to take the world's longest nap when I get home. And they said, we have no guest. You must be the guest tonight, and we're doing some drinking. So it's
sort of go. Wow. How's the show?
That is peer pressure.
The show was fine. I had a lot of shots. I got a little buzz going, and I'm a little sleep deprived. It's going to be tough.
You look good, though, I got to tell you. Look, makeup does wonder. You wear it all the time.
I know. So they just paint out your bags under your eyes. It's great. I got my teeth whitened.
You did. Just for the night.
No. He had them. Oh, no. Don't start it. Don't start it, Cheryl.
No.
Sorry. But, Drew, I was saying how much I love Cheryl.
Yes. I told her how we love this show. We love her.
Nice.
Yeah, no. We're very excited about this. And I just pitched us being on the show.
Yeah. I told him I'll talk to Larry.
That's never going to work.
That's right.
Thank God I won't remember that. It would be disappointing if I did, and then he said no. Right? But, Christ, I think it's my phone.
Oh, for God's sake.
Well, I don't know.
Here, let me have it.
Unacceptable.
Let me have it.
Buzz going.
Let me have it. Quick.
Hold on a second. But I do love Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yeah. Go ahead and get that. Who would be calling me at this hour? They know I'm doing a radio show. Cheryl, what's happening?
We're getting ready to start shooting again.
Let me. I'm sure you get praise heaped on you constantly for the show, it's a great show. And as I was saying to Drew last night,
I just noticed that you weren't. You see a lavalier.
Yeah,
you're
still mic.
Oh, I'm still wearing a mic.
be sure to broadcast it, still, will you?
Oh, okay.
What's your name again? Was it?
I gotta turn it in when I go back.
Kevin's the guy.
Well, I'll be back at the parking lot about 12:30.
Back at the parking lot. 12:15.
This is college radio.
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll tell that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not only do I love the show, but I don't think you get enough credit for the job you do on that show.
That's
it's
nice.
Really, you really are amazing on that show.
Very natural and very.
You know what it is. It's. I know this doesn't sound like a compliment, but it's. Cheryl is not a distraction. She. Okay, that's the booze talk.
Remember we were talking.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but here's what I'm saying.
Tell me exactly what you're saying.
It's not a sitcom.
Right.
And it's supposed to be sort of almost as if the camera doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's like real life.
It's supposed to be real.
And your number one goal, I mean, the best thing you could do if the camera isn't there and the live audience isn't there is not to be a distraction.
No, to be real.
Yeah.
Is to be real.
Yeah.
And it's you really do play it as if the camera's just mounted on the ceiling and we have no idea that this is a TV show.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it's a compliment. It's a compliment.
Well, you know, on that show, we really don't go for jokes.
Right.
Because situations are so ridiculous.
Except some people do.
Yes, you're right. Once in a while.
And that's when it's a distraction.
You're right.
And those are not the regulars on the show.
Yeah.
Right. When you hear a joke, it pulls you out of the moment a little bit. And Cheryl gets all her laughs in, but yet never pulls you
out.
Exactly. And that's the compliment.
That's a lovely compliment. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem, baby. What are you doing later? we blow this taco stand. Drew can dress the wound and let's hit the road. Jason?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're 28?
No, 20.
20?
Yeah, Adam. Just don't even try. I'll read the board.
You sound hot.
Me?
Yeah.
Jason, what's going on?
What's going on? What's up, Drew? What's up, man? You all rule.
Yeah.
And what's up, Cheryl? I love your show.
Well, thank you, Jason.
And basically, I'm calling because I got a problem with my girlfriend.
All right.
We've been going out for like 3 months now. And she's, borderline nympho, and she wants to have anal sex.
What does borderline nympho mean?
She wants to have sex like 10 times a day.
10 times a day?
Oh, if I did it, she probably would.
So that's just sexually compulsive in somebody. You know, I was thinking about...
No.
Do you want to hear. I'm not going to tell you tonight.
Yeah, tell me.
If you're going some kind of
tell me, buddy.
Loosely
you know,
tied together.
No, you tell me tonight, and then you can tell me tomorrow night, and I'll act interested again because I won't remember.
I was thinking about, you know, things that make people sexually compulsive and how, you know, abuse and arousal kind of makes people go on a trajectory like Jason's girlfriend. Then I started thinking about neglect. I thought, yeah, the kids got nothing but themselves. I thought, oh, Adam. That's when the kid starts self-stimulating and sort of creating his own little arousal circuit.
I beat off to relieve tension, Drew.
That's what I'm talking about. It's a way to manage affect when you're alone.
Yeah. Put some affect right in the sink this afternoon.
At Jimmy's show.
Trying to cut the edge.
Jesus Christ.
Different performers have different ways of dealing with stressful situations. Hey, Jason?
Yes, sir.
You don't want to give her any anal sex?
Well, I've never done it before.
Oh.
All right. Well, it's not something that's going to hurt you.
Right.
You'll be fine.
Yeah. Your soul
but you're worried.
Knocked down a notch.
Jason is worried that she has... that she's a troubled person? Are you intimidated? intimidated by her? You can't articulate yourself any better than that.
What's that, Jason?
Nah, it's just I think of it more as an outhole than an in-hole.
Hey, you don't want to do it. That's fine. Then you don't have to do it. It's just all right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if Adam's telling me it's going to be all right, then I'll probably go for it.
Yeah, put a condom on.
Well, it'll work.
Wear a condom.
You want to check it off the list, right, Cheryl?
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? You should do it in your own time.
You know what's interesting?
If you want.
I don't work the guests as hard as you do, Adam. I don't throw the anal sex call right back to her. Right, Cheryl?
I like that there's a gigantic checklist that you have to get.
It's not work. It's include.
Include. I beg your pardon.
Including
the guests.
Well, I think people do have a sort of sexual checklist that
men
get to.
Men do.
I think women do to some degree.
But it's not as explicit. Men have a checklist.
Right, but more recently, women want to try another woman.
Women have a you know, they have to fill out a series of stories kind of thing. You know what I mean? They have scenarios, not a checklist.
Yeah,
like we've talked a lot of women and more recently that they want to be with another woman.
They want to play out the scenario of what it feels like to be with a woman. Guys like, you know, my penis goes A, B, C, D. That's it. These things, that's where it goes, and that's my checklist.
You have to narrate a kid's book, Drew.
It'd be nice. They're
pretty
my
good.
My penis goes.
Yeah.
A, B, C, D.
You do a little Hooked on Phonics. Hey, Mike?
Yeah.
How old's Mike? 20, 28?
20.
20.
20.
What's up there, brother?
I had a few questions for Cheryl.
Oh.
One for Drew.
Okay.
Hey, do you know when HBO is putting out the DVD for Curb Your Enthusiasm? I've been emailing them like crazy, and they just...
Well, your emails have worked, apparently, because I think we're going in to do some commentary for it, and I think it's supposed to be out in August or something like that, so sooner than later.
When's the fourth season starting?
We start shooting in the beginning of March, so that won't start airing until September, probably.
Cool.
But you can watch the reruns.
Of season 3.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly you missed some of those shows, or some part of them.
Yeah, well, not me. I think I've seen every one
right?
of them. No.
Once is enough.
I got the idea.
Sunday 10 p.m.
No, I could see it a few times. I mean, it's formatically, it's a really interesting show. I'm so tired of the sitcoms, you know?
I know.
It's weird. It's like, it's not even about how funny something is anymore for me. It's about how it's being presented.
Mm. Yeah.
I've had an ass full of stand-up. I've had an ass full of sitcoms. I've had an ass full of vodka tonight.
May I have you.
His ass is really full.
Oh, my God. It's like a steamer trunk. But I do... You know what I like about Curb Your Enthusiasm is it doesn't push too hard.
Yeah.
You almost can relax when you're watching it. Doesn't?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? When you're watching stand-up, you sort of feel like it's uncomfortable. Yes. I hope it works out. He's pushing.
Yeah.
Oh, here comes the punchline.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's funny.
You feel obligated to laugh, and it's
Curb
is sort of, you find your own humor in different parts of it, and you don't feel stress about it.
Yeah, and if you just want to sort of sit back and enjoy it and watch it, that's okay, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like set up, laugh. Yeah.
But you know, that format was hard for people to get used to in the beginning. A lot of people were like, yeah, I don't know. It's hard. Some people said that you had to watch it a few times to really...
Yeah.
Good.
Well, I
that's
think
good. People should be challenged.
It didn't really. I mean, the first season, it wasn't a runaway hit. I mean, it didn't just take off. It sort of seemed like it caught on
people
more
it,
in the second season.
Well, you know, it's interesting because Larry is. He's got his own way of thinking. And when we first started, I thought it was so interesting that our show is improvised and there's no script. And I said, you know, we should get out there and tell people because I think that's interesting. And he said, no, I don't want people to watch the show because it's improvised. I want to watch it because it's funny.
Mm.
But he also didn't want to go out and advertise it. He wanted people to tell each other and to catch on. And
well, I've never seen him on a talk show or making the rounds anywhere.
No, he's highly uncomfortable in this type of situations.
Yeah, well, I guess it's that sensibility that makes the show work.
Exactly.
All right. Mm. Well, that seems like a good place to go to break.
No, good time.
I'm going to vomit.
Empty your steamer trunk?
Yeah. I'm going to empty my steamer and vomit. I want you, Drew, to put my wallet in my mouth so I don't choke on my tongue.
I have tongue depressors in the car.
You got that?
Yeah.
You have to run out to your car.
Yeah,
Cheryl Hines is here tonight from Curb Your Enthusiasm. HBO, 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Different time.
Sunday night.
Yeah. You can just check the website. They'll tell you when it's on.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you were at the Groundlings, huh?
I know. Drew and I were just talking about it. Were you at the Groundlings?
I was till they kicked me out. But now look at me. I'm getting drunk on Jimmy Kimmel's show. You Groundlings can kiss my ass.
You're getting the last laugh.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'll show you funny. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take a little break. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Mark from Blink-182, and you are listening to Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew on Loveline. I have a really big dick.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Cheryl Hines is here tonight from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Foster Brooks over here.
A couple of shots on the show. You know, it's cool. I'm Mel. Still doing
my
job.
I'm Mel?
I'm Mel. Mellow. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't know that was
a short
for
something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to start using that.
Yeah, take care of business. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying, Andrew?
Yeah, I do. Hey.
You're looking good tonight, Drew. I got to say.
Stay away from me.
Well, thank you. And you look lovely in your suit.
Yeah, fresh.
I didn't expect to see you in a suit here.
Yeah, with makeup on.
With makeup on.
Yeah, I did the Jimmy Kimmel Live show tonight. They were a little strapped for guests.
Somebody's watching you right now.
Oh, all right. I had a few shots of vodka on the show just to explain the
story. Jay, please laugh and just listen.
Oh, Jay.
Yeah.
You're 22. What's up?
I'm watching you.
What are we doing?
You and Jimmy get really drunk.
Yeah, we did. We got a little loaded tonight.
Sure. That's cool.
Oh, cool.
May I ask Jimmy to put my cards on his desk? You can get your people all worked up and in their disease, and then hand them my cards.
And then you
pitched you tonight, Drew.
Oh, really?
I said, put Dr. Drew on the show.
Yeah. People love Dr. Drew.
They love, that's what I said.
I swear. Women love him because he's caring and sweet and cute.
Right, he's attractive.
And then kids love him because you can ask him all kinds of questions and you don't laugh at him.
He's attractive, though, right?
He's very attractive, yeah.
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 You're in it? I thought
we had something. Well, you know, I'll make a decision by the end of the night.
I locked it in before you got here.
we had a lot of time to bond.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's all right.
We can undo that work. Yeah.
Your makeup is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Jay, is out of this world.
Is he funny?
Oh, God. Jimmy's so drunk. Oh. Is he really drunk, or is he just faking it for the camera?
No, he got loaded.
Did you ever see the Man Show episode where he was at Snoop's house getting wasted with him?
Yeah, Snoop's getting a big kick out of the crappy ventriloquist.
Yeah. Armenian Comedian was on tonight.
Wow.
And was Snoop on again tonight?
Snoop is guest hosting all this week.
Oh.
Is this show Sunday through Thursday, or is it going to be Monday through Friday?
Monday through Friday. Monday it just premiered on Sunday after the Super Bowl.
Will there be a Friday show this week?
I hope so. We'll find a guest. True. You may be on.
There you go. Oh, you just raised his hand.
Jay?
Yeah.
So, anyway, what's up? Do you have any questions or anything?
Oh, just, like, how was that? Did you get to taste the Subway sandwich?
No, I ate the banana. We're deep frying things.
So you only got the banana and not the sandwich?
That's true, yes.
Did Jimmy keep the sandwich or did you throw it all away?
Jay, you seem obsessed with the sandwich, brother. Were you ever violated really with a hoagie when you were younger? What happened?
Really good. looks really good.
I haven't eaten anything
for like 2 days.
We deep fried a lot of things.
Speech writing.
You can still eat while you're writing a speech.
Yes.
Who are you writing a speech for?
For speech class.
For yourself.
Wow. Yeah.
Do you deliver the speech?
Yeah. Oh,
what's boy. It on?
Huh?
What's this?
It's on No Child Left Behind, George Bush's education program, and how angry I am.
Oh.
You were left behind?
Oh, maybe a little. I don't know.
All right. You have the speech in front of you?
No, don't, Adam.
Oh, no, not the whole thing. I'm still working on it.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I appreciate the opportunity to read it on the air, though.
Yeah. Well, I was going to give it to you, but, you know. I'm drunk. My decision-making isn't great at this point.
I should say not.
Yeah. Well, enjoy your goat's milk from now on there, dude.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. Good times.
Yeah. It was the booze was put in a goat's milk container.
Oh, goat's milk container.
Above the board. But, you know, when it came out clear, people got the idea.
Get brucellosis from goat's milk, you know.
What do you get?
Brucellosis.
What's that? Turn gay?
It's a bad, yeah.
Brucellosis? What is brucellosis? What happened to Bruce is a universal gay name.
It moved on.
What do you think we're on to now, Seth?
That was your version. Seth.
Dirk, maybe?
Yeah.
Cheryl, what's the number one gay name?
I'm not sure you can generalize anymore.
Yes, I don't like to generalize
That's right.
Names.
That's right. That would be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not into that. But what about lesbians? Is there a gay lesbian
Janet.
Name? Is there a lesbian? Janet? Yeah, that's solid.
Janet.
Yeah, Janet, you picture the buzz cut up the neck there, fade going, Birkenstocks, wearing the Lees with the Lee jeans with the reinforced knees.
The chain.
Yeah, Janet, solid. Yeah, that's good, Drew.
Yeah.
Drew rarely comes through, but Scott?
Yeah, I'm right here.
You're 25?
Yes. Hey, I love the show, guys.
Great.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, first I want to say thank you to Dr. Drew. 2.5 years ago, I called in about some advice. I wasn't attracted to my wife anymore. You recommended marriage counseling, and it really helped out a lot.
Oh, excellent.
Wow, that's great.
My daughter is going to be celebrating her very first birthday tomorrow, 7:20 p.m.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You got the time worked out, huh?
Yeah, oh, man, it was a hard delivery. Real hard. I almost lost them both.
Oh, boy. So. I went through that, too, actually.
Really?
Yeah,
it's
tough.
That's
dramatic. Got triplets, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I want to get down to a medical question, if possible. 3 years ago, I was driving a semi, and I pulled the release of the kingpin, and I got a pinch down below. So
kingpin must attach the rig to the
trailer
to the trailer, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, you got a pain like in your testicle?
Well, it wasn't really there. It was, like, in between my legs.
All right, got it. Okay, keep going.
Center.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I went ahead and went on a medical leave. And from a medical leave, I went on to 2.5, 3 years.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Okay. Were you taking pain medicine the whole time?
Yeah, they prescribed the ibuprofen. They figured it was an inflammation.
All right.
That really didn't help.
Okay.
They tried checking for hernia. They took me in for a CT scan. The only thing they could think of is a microscopic rip and one of my tendons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which tendon?
Some tendon down there.
Pubic coccygeus, probably.
Oh.
Yeah. My problem is...
Oh, awkward.
Now, I'm okay for a while, but if I do any heavy work now...
Yeah.
It's horrible. I can climb into the cab of a truck now, and there's like... when I get in, there's a tingling sensation in between my legs up there.
Have you seen a neurosurgeon?
No, I haven't.
That's the direction to go, because I wonder if this is more of a lumbar or sacral spine problem. So that'd be the next order of business. This may not be urological. It may actually be a nerve issue.
Really?
Yeah, the fact that you were lifting and straining when it happened. Yes, it could be, and it could be all kinds of, you know, but before you go marching down the sort of surgical path with the urologist, check out a neurosurgical evaluation, okay?
Okay.
Right.
Well, here's the.
That's enough.
Oh, dear.
We're
out of time.
Anyway. I grew weary.
I like to hear him say tingle. Because tingle sounds a little bit good.
Yeah, and we could all go for a little more tingling.
It's perineum
tingles.
What's so bad about that?
I'm just like, is that bad?
That's what happens when you're in love, right?
Yeah. Perineum tingles, yes. Yes, that's it. Wait.
Blah, blah, blah. Daniel?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yes.
You got a question for Cheryl? Yeah.
Sure. Adam, first thing, I want to tell you, Crank Anchors, it's the most underrated show ever. I don't understand why it's not catching on, man.
You know, we're coming out with a whole bunch of new episodes in early March.
I'm going to see my puppet.
I think this is where we make our move, because we just did 10 last season. So we didn't do enough of them.
Did you film that episode we did yet?
Yeah.
You filmed it?
I haven't been over there in a while. I saw Snoop's puppet the other day. I think Drew must have a puppet soon. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead, Daniel.
Okay, so basically my question is kind of directed to Cheryl.
All right.
One of the episodes you guys had last year.
Yeah.
Larry David, I guess he was in a really good mood, so he decided to go down on you.
Yeah.
And he happened to get a tuba cache stuck in his throat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you know what, you got to give it a couple of days. It'll either come out or, you know, just drink a lot of liquids and maybe it'll go down.
Yeah.
So I wanted to know, actually, Dr. Drew, is that really possible?
Yes.
True. What would you do? What would you do if a pubic hair was in the back of someone's throat, though? Wouldn't you get it out?
You could. You can endoscopy it. They go that far in the episode.
Yeah. The doctor said he could either go in and try to get it, or it should probably dislodge.
Stuff can stick. Yeah.
All right.
Called bezoars then.
Because that actually happened to somebody, and Larry thought it was funny.
Let's take a little break. Cheryl Hines is here tonight from Curb Your Enthusiasm, HBO, 10 o'clock, whenever. And we're reruns now, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, catch a sketch can, as Grandma used to say. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Love Line, fast growing outlaw radio, North America. That's right. Little booze don't hurt my groove. You know what I'm saying, Drew?
So
yeah.
Far.
This close to dropping trow.
A girl can dream.
Yeah. Babe, I tell you, you see me drop trow, you go blind. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
It's good when you're drunk as the rapid fire DJ voice. Sounds more real than
driving track.
You do that better drunk than any other time.
I'll tell you, this Curb Your Enthusiasm is a hell of a show. No script. That's how we do this show, though, right, Drew Skirt?
No script.
No script, buddy.
No net.
Outlaw, man. Now, let me tell you something right real quick now. The man, program director of the company, they begged us to use a script. We're like, no script.
We don't need a net, man.
We don't need a net, man. We're flying without a static cord, right, Drewsker?
All right, dude.
All right. It's close to drop a trial right now, man, and I will.
Hey, now Cheryl's had an asshole. Okay.
You know what I like on the morning show stuff in the zoos when the other guy's telling the other guy what a maniac he is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a maniac, dude. No, you will. No, he will do it. No, you don't do it. He will do it. No, don't do it, man. This guy's a maniac. Really? The guy with the mullet and the glasses and the guts, really, really maniac? That's what got him on in Tucson doing mornings?
A lot of morning zoos.
Hey, that's where Jimmy started, isn't it?
Oh,
wait a minute.
Hey, buddy.
He didn't quite make it to morning, I guess.
Cheryl Hines, everybody, from Curb Your Enthusiasm. Definitely one of my favorite shows. You know, HBO, it strikes me with Curb Your Enthusiasm and The Sopranos and Sex and the City, really has a unique problem, which is they're not making enough. Like, the public
wants to
see more Sex in the Cities and more Curb Your Enthusiasm, more
Six
Sopranos.
Under,
and
6 Feet Under HBO.
Not sure where the public is on that. But, it's like a new season of Sex in the City comes out. They run 8, and then they go on hiatus for 6 years. And everyone's like,
I know. It's weird, isn't it?
They
don't really stick to any sort of schedule or rules or which I'm sure is why a lot of the shows are great, you know.
It's the
Sopranos talent. Weren't on for a whole year.
I know
it's amazing.
I mean more than any other network, I think HBO has people sort of wanting them to put stuff back on.
I mean
you don't see people putting faxes in and phoning in ABC and want to know when According to Jim is coming. But they just don't care. It's like the reruns, same as the regular ones. The retards that watch that show, they're like kids who can watch the same video over and over and over again. Do you know the difference? Like, do you know when According to Jim stopped and the reruns started airing? Or is it, no, but Curb Your Enthusiasm and, you know, 6 Feet Under and Sex and City and all that stuff. It's like,
people
like,
gear up
yeah, it's over now. And then, yeah, could be 10 years before the next new one comes out.
Yeah.
You got a light of fire under people over there, Cheryl.
Okay. I'll talk to Larry. You want me to call him?
Yeah, call him up.
Yeah, he would like that.
And that the new ones, you say September?
Yeah, probably September.
Holy Christ.
Yeah.
The last original one aired some months ago, didn't it?
Yeah, probably November.
That really, it takes almost a full year to...
Yeah.
You guys got to get it together over there.
Well, you know, Larry says that editing is really hard because since it's improvised, all the dialogue overlaps. Mm-hmm. And so, and, you know, every time we shoot it, the scene, it changes. There's no
continuity.
Yeah, so
how many times do you shoot the scenes usually?
You know, it really depends. It could be as little as 3 or as many as 12.
Mm. And how, as far as not having a script, and this sounds like a dream because you don't have to bring this big pile of crappy papers home every night and learn everything. And the thing about a script is some hack writes it, decides this is carved
in stone,
in granite, mm-hmm. and now everyone's to stick to it. And then if you get off it, even if you do better, people are like, well, you did drop that line.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, but that line sucked and someone decided that was gospel. You know, a couple days ago,
yeah,
but it really
you understand,
sucks.
Later on in the story, it's going to be important.
Yeah, that word comes back, and it's
but
vital.
So that's nice, but, I mean, what do they do? Just go, here's the situation, your character's a little angry. And
Larry, we were talking about this.
Before you got here. Hey, we had this conversation.
Hey. You know, they'll be like, this is what's going to happen. You know, we might run into some friends, and they don't remember us from the party.
Right.
And that might be all we get.
Right.
Or as she said, Larry would come in and go, I'm going to tell you something you're not going to like. Action.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
But sometimes he won't even say you're not going to like it or you will. He's like, I have something to tell you. But so the scene will be about me coming in and telling you.
It'd be a nice way to work.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, because really, as far as acting goes, the only thing that really sucks is memorizing stuff. And, you know, being able to regurgitate on
cue. Think about the way you and I'll admit I too like in entertainment performance context. It's just sitting down doing it.
Right.
Any preparation?
No.
No.
Brandon?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, my girlfriend and I have been having sex, and, you know, me being the guy that I am and having the things I want to do, I've wanted to switch things up.
He's talking about checklist.
Anal sex.
Checklist.
Yes, with the checklist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just a little bit concerned about it because I hear that, you know how the vagina is kind of like a rubber band and it retracts in and out?
Mm-hmm. I look at it as more of a garbage disposal. That's me, though.
I really enjoy the idea of a rubber band.
What are you talking about, Brandon?
Keep the bacon fat away from it.
What are you talking about?
Like, when you have sex, like the vagina actually stretches out.
Expand. So it doesn't stretch out, it expands. Yeah.
Well, that's stretching out.
Yeah, but stretch out implies that it stays stretched out, like it stretches out.
No, it said rubber band. Stretches out, comes back.
All right.
Okay, so what I was thinking is, like, with anal sex, is the anus, like, in the same thing? Like, we'll do the same thing that the vagina does.
Yes, it expands it and comes back.
Brandon.
Yes.
What about when you take a monster dump?
Uh-huh.
You think you just walk around with a porthole in your ass the whole time?
I'm not sitting there with this major turd sticking out of my butt all the time.
Yeah, but you take the major turd, the anus expands in order to expel the major turd, and then it closes back up again, right?
Yeah.
Same idea.
Same
thing happens to the vagina.
Okay. Well,
baby's head is sent down the canal, and it springs back.
Come out the ass?
No.
What are you talking about, Drew?
Yeah, good times.
You got to be high, brother. This close to dropping trow on you. Cheryl would dig that if I dropped trow right now, right?
Very much so.
Don't make me drop trow.
I'm hoping you don't.
Phil?
Yes.
You're 20 or 30? What is that, Drew?
30.
30.
30.
What's up?
How are you guys?
Good. What's up?
First of all, Cheryl, I want to tell you you look fabulous at the Globes.
You're gay.
But you look great.
You got a lot of fag hags chasing you, right, Cheryl?
Yes.
Gay guys love you.
Well,
The gays love me.
She was
Thank
in.
You.
She was a cosmetologist at one time.
Oh, that's I went to why they school. Love her. Oh, yeah.
Okay, here's my question. I have a connective tissue disorder.
Which one?
I don't know if there's a name for it. It's just been described as such. Nothing more.
Is it called mixed connective tissue disorder?
Yes, mixed. All right. Because
that's
there's
fine.
Some sort of...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right.
Okay.
Nobody but you and me know what we're talking
what
about.
What is Go that? Ahead. We want to know.
It's in the spectrum of rheumatoid arthritis. It's mixed. MCTD is basically sort of an overlap between like a lupus and a rheumatoid arthritis and a...
Boring!
Seronegative spondyloarthropathy. All right.
Well, this is the unboring part. The unboring part is it's affected me neurally, mm-hmm. and when I achieve orgasm, I only sense it on the left side of my penis.
Do you have sort of an... did they think you had ankylosing spondylitis at one point?
Oh, my God. I haven't even heard that one yet.
Okay. Because that's the one that's more associated with neuropathic changes in the pelvic region.
Okay.
But what, yeah, this can be. Yeah, sure.
What about this left side of the penis? Because...
doesn't have to be symmetrical.
But
thank God. Thank God he's got one side remaining.
One side going.
Yeah, right. Barely.
You got to look at the hamper's half full.
That's right.
Half empty.
What medication are you on?
Right now I'm actually on blood pressure medication, which I don't think is serving the condition. It's just helping my blood pressure, of course. But I have felt better since being on it.
But I'm not getting the sensation on the left side of the penis part, because when you have an orgasm, you don't
It's not on the penis.
It's not on the penis.
Yeah, it's weird. It's hard to describe.
He means in order to achieve the orgasm, stimulating. Like,
does he mean that?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Well, with this, I've been so confused that it's been going on for 5 years, and I just finally have gotten to a doctor where I've just taken his answer as the answer, because I was just unhappy with all the others.
What blood pressure pill you want?
Altase.
Okay.
Well, let me ask this. So when if you were stimulating yourself, you would have no sensation on the right side of your penis?
Correct. It would be, I wouldn't sense anything on the right. I don't feel anything in the right hip. I also don't feel any, I have weird or dullness in the joints on the right ankle and right wrist. It's all very right-sided, not so much on the left.
Mm-hmm. Like MS. Did they think you had MS at one time?
They tested me for it. I got tested for it several times, okay. And they ruled it out, thank God.
All right.
Buddy. You gay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is all your symptoms below,
big
the,
Cheryl fan, though,
below
right?
the waist?
No, they're mostly from the midsection, like the mid-torso on
Does
down.
It get worse when you take like a hot bath?
I don't see much improvement when I take a hot bath.
But they've done MRIs and things in your back.
MRIs of the brain, of the
back?
Spine.
All right. You're gay.
All right.
Yeah, that's the diagnosis.
That. All right. You got a boyfriend?
No, and that's another thing. I don't choose to have one because there's no fun in that.
There's a syndrome called foie à la joanine.
Yeah.
It's abnormal vessels in and around the spine. They can push on the nerves below the...
But can't you have sensation with orgasm?
Yeah, but it's very dull. Not as I remember it. It's very dull and
unexpected.
So you're not really inspired to have sex?
To date people, even, you know. It's,
really?
Yeah, it's pretty pathetic, Cheryl.
You need some emotional support.
Yeah, you do, girl.
Yeah.
I mean, guy, girl. But listen, Phil.
Get out there and date.
Why not? Why not, Phil?
You
got one side working.
Yeah. Let me tell you about sensations. It's all about orgasm.
Tell us that. What
about the sensation of looking into the eyes of the one you love, walking on a beach?
That's
sidebar.
Or starting a fire.
You're trying to impress Cheryl. Yeah. You've never said anything like that ever in your entire effing life.
No, it's all cornholing and anal
and
poppers for me.
Right.
Yeah, if I'm gay.
Okay, let's be honest here.
All right,
go.
All right, I'm saying... You know when you have a Labrador puppy and you run along the beach with the person you love
dreaming.
And you're throwing a piece of driftwood out in front of you, and then later on you start a fire.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I make
Who cares if you never have sex with that person?
It's not important.
That's not important.
It's the companionship.
Mm-hmm.
That's the important part.
Mm-hmm. The cuddling.
Yeah.
The cuddling. Lots of cuddling.
When two become one.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Right.
That's what it's
Try
about.
This on a night where you're not so loaded. It's not working. It's not working.
Two came, one, baby.
Here you go.
No, it's something to think about.
Just go back to drop and trout. EJ, 24.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Love the show, guys.
Great.
I was calling because I had a wet dream
and it was brown. Like, semen was just brown.
Yeah, that's blood.
Just blood?
That's blood. Brown semen is bloody, old blood, basically. And that's not at all uncommon, and it doesn't necessarily mean a damn thing. However, it's worth getting it checked out just to be sure that there's something going on.
Well, like, and I didn't, like, hurt myself or hit myself or anything, but...
DJ, I'll repeat myself. Men frequently will have a little bit of blood in the semen, and it will look kind of brown.
It's,
not me, baby.
Doesn't mean anything. Adams is pearly white.
Pearly white. That's so interesting, though. There's another thing. I had no idea.
And it's rarely indicative of serious problems, but it's always, of course, worth checking out.
Okay. Interesting.
My family doctor, I asked them, and she said that it was because I didn't ejaculate for like 2 weeks or something. So if you don't ejaculate like every week, then that
seed goes bad.
Seed gets more yellowy and tapioca-like that way.
Ooh.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah. And that could look brown, I suppose, but it's...
What? Why aren't you beating off, EJ? You're 24. You're in your prime beat off years.
How I have a question.
I'm not a big prescriber in beating off. Like
how old can a guy be and still have a wet dream? Like, it could happen anytime.
90.
But really?
Yeah, just if he's not, the plumbing's not being evacuated, God takes care of it.
And is it just, and is it the is
it's
it
a buildup.
It's a buildup, and so you have a dream. And do you remember that dream? That in your dream, you're
mostly.
Like...
Most guys kind of wake up. They arouse at some point, and oftentimes. So do,
yeah.
And then you wake up, and it's...
Done.
Happening.
But they are happening, or done.
Uh-huh. Or done.
And the, you know, men have a... And as they... So there's a buildup, there's sort of a tension and a more arousal and stuff, and eventually there's just...
Yeah.
Body really? Care,
but. Well...
But less and less frequent. The older you get?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, when you're late teens, early 20s,
that's when it's really happening.
Yeah, but it's a slow decline after that. And really the reason it's not happening is because, you know, let it. You know, guys don't get to that point of they're having sex with someone or they're married or something.
They don't let it build up, you mean?
It's right. Too, it's too uncomfortable.
Oh.
Yeah.
How long can a guy go without ejaculating? It's uncomfortable.
Adam's personal best, 2 days?
17. No, 17 hours.
Wow. 17 hours, and then it was highly uncomfortable? But is it by law you can feel it? Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know,
this is women get incensed.
Let me tell you, you can feel it. Yeah. It's not like your balls hurt or anything.
No, it's you just start
it's
just thinking about stuff.
Yeah, as your mom calls, it's like, yeah, what are you wearing? Seriously. You start having these crazy conversations with women. Yeah. Hey, man, what do you mean? Where are you going? Don't be uptight. Chat, you're looking good today.
Yeah. That's really amazing. So is it different for each guy? It's different.
Yeah.
Some guys can last a few years, maybe.
No, probably not.
I wouldn't want to hang out with that guy.
I would get him.
He'd probably be cranky.
He would either be pent up or shut down.
I would think, I would think you'd measure the upper limits in weeks.
Really? Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, those days are like dog years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell a story about, was it Wheeze that, the shirt?
Oh, yeah. My buddy, the Wheeze, we made this shirt once. I don't know why. We must have been bored. It was like one of those reversible junior high athletic department shirts, you know? It was like green on one side and gold on the other.
Yeah.
And we decided to make a contest to see who could... It said cold jerky on it. It said day number. And these Velcro numbers. So you could go the longest without beating off.
Uh-huh.
And,
did that include wet dreams? We had a wet dream. Were you disqualified?
We never stipulated that.
By international rules, you'd be out.
It was just beating off.
Yeah, okay.
Pure and simple.
Drew has a real book.
No touching yourself.
Okay.
One of my buddies had the record. It was like 21 days.
Just for color here. You made it. How long before you dropped out?
Hours?
I actually used a shirt to mop off while we were discussing the rules. I immediately threw myself out. This is long before the Seinfeld episode. This is, I was 19 or 20, so this is, 19 years ago. And one buddy had the shirt for like 4 or 5 years. I mean, he won the crown.
So if you win, you hang on to the shirt.
You keep the shirt.
Okay. How many days did he make it?
It was like 21 days.
Wow.
Yeah, and nobody would ever make an assault on the title.
Yeah.
No one would make a move. I certainly wasn't. But one day, the Wheeze, my buddy Don, my roommate, he stepped up. He said, "I'm going to make a run at the title." Good luck. I can't support you in that at all. I mean, you know, morally I'm there.
But, yeah, no.
You know,
but, yeah,
physically, no.
You can't.
So this guy, for some reason, the Wii's got screwed up with the days. And he thought that 19 was the number of days, but it was 21.
That they had to surpass.
That's right. In order to get the cold jerky
shirt
yeah. which is, you know,
the prize.
Oh, it's America's Cup, the Stanley Cup, the Lombardi Trophy. It's all rolled up into one sticky gym shirt mess, you know?
Super humid.
Right. Yeah. And so what happened was, is I don't know why, but I went over to the guy's work that day, and I saw the Wheeze, and I said, hey, Wheeze, what's going on? What are you up to? What am I up to? As soon as I get home today, I take care of business, and I go get that shirt. And I'm like, what do you mean take care of business? You got two more days. He's like, oh, no, the record is 19 days, and at 5 o'clock today, I will have taken the record, and I'll take the shirt. And I said, no, it's 21 days. And it's a small man, the Wheeze, you know. He grabbed me by the collar and threw me against the wall. And he's like, don't laugh with me, man! It was clearly broken. Like, he'd gone. It was like, you know, cabin fever. Yeah. He'd gone insane. It was like a rabid dog at this point. 130-pound guy threw me across the room and smashed me up against the wall and started screaming at me. It was like blood in his eyes and stuff.
Aww.
I was like, Wheeze, you got at least 48 more hours. And
did he make it?
He spanned pretty good. But, yeah, he went.
Really?
Yeah, he made it.
Wow.
Aggression out on your...
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think he's the... I think he has a cold jerky t-shirt to this day.
Wow, that's impressive.
And a nice story for a lot of the kids about goals, achievements.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait to have your own kids to tell
setting your sights and something in the horizon and seeing it through.
Very high, too. High, high level of self-expectation.
Ninja-type discipline. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cheryl Hines is our guest tonight. She's from Curb Your Enthusiasm. New episodes will be out the 12th of November. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Cheryl Hines is our guest tonight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She is from Curb Your Enthusiasm on HBO, 10 o'clock, whenever. It's, I'll tell you, one of my favorite new, when I say new, it's a couple of years old, but it sort of slid under the radar the first season a little bit, and then came on like gangbusters. And you know, I got to say, to the credit of the Academy or whoever does these things, it's getting recognition. It seems like there was a day in the past when a good show may have just sort of stayed under the radar, maybe had the fans, but it wasn't really recognized when they're giving out the Golden Globes and things like that. It does get its fair share of sort of critical recognition,
does it not? Well, it's interesting because the first few years we got a lot of critical acclaim and nice, you know, print.
Reviews and things.
Thank you. But really not much recognition otherwise. And this year specifically, you know, we were nominated for an Emmy and then we won the Golden Globe, which was pretty exciting and unbelievable. So this year has been just we've gone to new heights.
It must be nice for you because you become sort of it's like the people in the know, the initiated people, these are the fans of this show. It's not Joe Sixpack.
No, it truly is amazing. You know, when I was at the Golden Globes, we were backstage, and Harrison Ford came up and said, and introduced himself, and I said, hi, I'm Cheryl. And he goes, I know who you are.
Oh, that's wild.
I said, well, thank you, Harrison.
That's wild.
But there were people like that all night, like Allison Janney who's coming up, and, you know, it's people that you respect and that you admire their work, and they're coming up and saying that they like the show. So it's pretty unbelievable.
And they know your name too.
Know my name,
Sabrina.
Oh, hi there.
You're 31.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, acquaintance was asking me the other day if I thought that a mother masturbating with her daughter, her preteen daughter, was normal or.
How old is the daughter?
Actually using her daughter.
How old is the daughter?
Not using.
I see.
Preteen, she's like 11, 12.
Yeah.
That's sexual abuse.
Not, she's masturbating with.
That is sexual abuse.
At the same time?
That is sexual abuse.
Well, that means they're in the same room, or what's that mean exactly?
More that maybe she was teaching her.
Sexual abuse.
It's
flat out.
It's
maybe that wouldn't stand out in court of law, but in my opinion,
at least bizarre.
It is a boundary issue that speaks of immense pathology. Number one, and number two, subjecting a preteen to that is out of line.
Yeah,
abusive.
Well, I agree. There's probably some boundary issues there, but
some boundary issues. It's totally bizarre.
Well, I mean, are they disrobed, and is she looking at the other person's genitals,
you know,
and that kind of thing?
I don't think it's like a turn-on thing at all. I know,
but that part doesn't really. That's neither here nor there. The point is are they nude?
Listen,
I don't have that information.
You could say that, you know, mother and daughter should not be nude in the same room together. That is a little bit of a boundary issue, just by itself. You might want to be careful with that boundary.
Yeah.
Then to begin exploring. Please. I will tell you, you can go do whatever you wish, but that is a child. You watch that child in 6 years, and wait till you see what you get there.
Yep.
You're going to get the usual conduct
Nobel
of sexual
Prize
abuse.
Oh, no, right. Sexual abuse. That's right. Acting out. True is right.
That is bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And sad.
Oh, just, I remember seeing my dad in his underpants when I was like 14 and being disturbed.
Mm-hmm. No.
Couldn't imagine him showing me how to do it.
Isn't that awful? Can you even imagine it? It's crazy.
No. I can barely look at my dad as a dad. Forget about a sexual being. No, it's like he's barely a human. Forget about somebody gets an erection. It's bizarre. See, he told me, my dad told me the other night when we were eating, he told me that he lost his virginity to my mom, and I was like, I almost spit up what I was eating. I was like, hey. Come on, Pops. My impulse was to pay him, not to talk. Hey, here's $25. Stop talking. Will you please?
That's sweet, though. No?
Yeah.
It really is.
Any information about your parents in any kind of sexual way is intrusive and uncomfortable.
Intrusive, yeah.
And I know people say, oh, well, hey, we're not uptight, and in Europe, families do this and they do that.
No,
it's real. It's like, I'm an atheist. I'm wide open. I you're talking to a guy who's peed on his friends on at least
many
occasions. It really has.
I'll vouch for it.
Right. But I just, the whole sexuality thing with the parents, it's a weird line to cross.
Yeah.
And I don't think it could ever, here's the deal. It could almost never do any good.
Mm-hmm.
But it could potentially do a lot of harm.
Absolutely true.
So why bother with it?
Well put.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. That's the booze talking, Drew.
Yeah, thankfully.
It makes you smart.
Tony, that's what I
say. Don't
encourage
him.
Makes
you
drive better.
Oh, no.
I know what the ladies like when I'm drunk.
Mm-hmm. I can sense
they
that.
They like to give me oral.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I figured out. Well, that's what I know when I'm drunk. I know what the ladies like. They like giving me oral. That's why I treat them like ladies. Tony?
Play that back, Anderson.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
You're 25.
Hey,
what's up?
Well, a couple of things. I heard earlier you're talking about masturbation, and I just want to say I've held out on masturbation for about 4 months straight.
Wow.
And you had no wet dreams?
No, you know what? I didn't really have very many of those, but I just wanted to share that. And actually, I was in church.
Hang a second. I didn't have very many?
I didn't have very 14. Many wet dreams at all, you know. Growing up or even...
Well, listen.
Oh, in general.
You had no wet dreams in this four-month period?
No, he's saying...
You're right. Oh. I didn't have any during that period.
You want me to call the Wheeze and tell them you get the gym shirt or...
No, you know what? I was in church, so my focus was kind of like a meditation thing. I was, trying to think about other things. Like
Ninja.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
What age were you when you did this?
I held out 4 months, but you know, after 4 months, I ended up eloping. So,
see, it affects your
thinking.
Wow,
it really drove you to extreme measures.
Yeah, it drove me bad, pretty much.
Yeah.
No, you make rash decisions.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. So you eloped. You got married, and what happened?
Well, everything's been great. But basically, I just want to kind of take my exploration of sex to another level. I'm not trying to have a threesome or anything like that. Basically, I do everything she wants, and I think it's about time she started doing some of the things I want.
What does she want? Well, but what she wants him to do is not give it to her in the ass. So that's not...
So it's time she started doing things he wants.
Right, which is... not doing things she doesn't want him to do.
Is that what this is all about? Is this the bottom line?
Well, what does she want you to do?
Well, that's not it.
Well, we're just curious. What is it that...
Yeah, you do everything.
You're so giving.
You know, I go down on her and...
Oh, boy, it's the sacrifices. Wow. God. Wow.
Get out the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Not more than a minute, I hope.
On this man's tongue.
How long you do that for?
So I guess what I'm asking is, is it really much to ask if, I start maybe pushing the idea of her, swallowing?
Adam, you need to educate this young man.
Yeah. I know what the ladies like. They like giving me oral. Yeah. It's going to be my outgoing message tomorrow. Well, look, do you need her to swallow or do you need her to retain?
You know what? I think it's just as long as she could, like, stop being afraid of it.
Right. Right.
I'm missing the thing. So she doesn't.
Here's what women. Right. Here's what men. Hold on. Quiet down. Here's why men are retarded is they try to talk women into swallowing when it comes to oral, and that sounds like such a commitment. You know, nobody
sounds gross.
It sounds grotesque. Yeah. As a guy, you'd think, no, I would not participate in this. Yeah. But really, it's not important where it ultimately ends up as long as there's no interruption in the oral.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
So you don't want somebody to stop right before and go, I'm out.
Right. So what happens is guys say, will you swallow? The women are like, no.
Right.
And so they stop midstream, and there's an interruption right at the key climactic point of the relation. And so really what guys should say is, will you transport?
Will you receive?
Will you receive and then transport my cargo into the toilet?
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Very romantic, too.
And very romantic.
But it's like I always say, like, you take a swig of bad milk in the fridge, you don't spit it all over the refrigerator. You make your way to the sink. You do that. You go to the sink. You open your mouth. You drop it out of the sink, and you rinse your mouth out. This is like a swig. No, it's just like a swig of bad milk.
But yeah.
Yeah. So that's what he needs to tell. But the whole swallow thing, people.
But he wants her to swallow. That's the problem.
Yes, that's what he's asking for. But Anna may have had an impact on this young man.
Was that Tony?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tony, do you really need her to ingest it, or just need her not to be
interrupted?
Yeah. I think what you said was right on it.
Yeah.
All right, that's what you need to do.
Not run away when I...
Yeah, so just educate her a little bit.
Right. You tell her it's she's like UPS. She needs to take the semen from the pickup point.
Should he provide her with a receptacle?
Tissue or something?
Spittoon?
A spittoon? Perfect.
No. Because that creates a third step, then you have to deal with the spittoon.
Yeah, but the romantic thing would be for him to take the spittoon across the room and empty it.
Yeah. Yeah. That is romantic. Yeah. That's just what those Hallmark cards are all about,
oh,
Drew.
Man, I could just...
I know what the ladies like. They like giving me oral. You receive it in your mouth. Wherever you get oral, you're never too far from a place you can spit up, whether it be a potted plant, a toilet,
there's
a cat box.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, absolutely.
Right.
That makes sense.
Take it. It's like, you all right, done. Now I'm going to transport, and I'm going to dump. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
That
okay.
sounds good.
All right. There we go.
Nothing wrong with that, Drew.
Except
Drew doesn't like oral because he's a passionate man. And really passionate guys don't like BJs. It's not enough. They got to be in. There's a hole. There's a hole somewhere in the room, and it's not filled with me. This is an outrage. What can we do? My penis is out. It's erect. There's some hole floating around here. My penis has not filled this hole.
Did you just juice up a little bit during the last break?
I had a shot. A little
nip. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
A little hair from the dog.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't want to lose my edge.
Going.
Yeah. It's cool.
Lose your edge.
Yeah. I don't want to come down too fast.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I don't want you to have a seizure. Your wrist tonight.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a quick break. Cheryl Hines is here from Curb Your Enthusiasm, and we'll be right back. Oh, yeah, baby. Cheryl Hines there. Everybody from Curb Your Enthusiasm, HBO, Golden Globe, Emmy nominated. What else? That's enough.
That's enough. That's all we need to know.
Very, probably, this is the best show, best comedy on TV. I don't know.
Best situational. It's really, it's not a sitcom, but it is situational, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
By far the best.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, sitcom is short for situational comedy.
No, I understand, but I mean,
but it's not
a different
your traditional, yeah. Yeah, we don't shoot in front of an audience, right.
And it moves around. It's just like the entire thing doesn't take place in the living room or the house that the couple
Everything's shot
lives
on
in.
Location.
You know what's interesting? The people I find distracting are people that are sort of improvisational comedians, like the SNL people that come on and stuff. Those are the ones that distract me a little.
It's almost when you see somebody you recognize, it's almost a little.
But they seem to be a little bit. Their energy level is a little higher than the rest of the cast, and they're going for something.
Well, you know, it's a hard show to just come on and do.
Well, because they have to kind of be themselves.
You have to kind of be yourself, and also when you're used to performing in front of an audience. People laugh when something's funny. And when you're shooting this show, you know, even the crew is in the other room. So it's hard to gauge what's funny and what's not. And you don't know what to expect, and you don't know how people are going to react to what you're going to say. So it just takes a while to get in the groove of it sometimes.
Well, I could do it. Drew couldn't, but
I could do it. I could do it.
I
wouldn't be funny, but I could do it. You'd be funny, and you could do it.
Yeah. Drew's a horrible actor. Horrible.
Is he just horrible?
Horrible.
Say it again, Adam.
Horrible actor. Yeah, but I could do it.
No, I know. I'm sure
you
could.
Mm-hmm. I guess we'll never find out. Corey, you're 14?
Yeah.
Watch how natural I am with this caller.
Okay, I want to hear this.
Hey, Corster. getting close to dropping trout, buddy. What's happening?
I just have a question. I hear you talk about dropping trout a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering how you got it and where it came from.
Well, the trout's are... The trout came from the store.
No, come on. I'm curious to hear where you got it.
Where? Dropping trout?
You hear it on other morning shows.
You mean that?
Yeah, it's bad idiom. Bad adage from the past.
From like 90s morning.
Yeah, trout is short for trouser, I believe, right?
When would one of those morning show zoo types talk about dropping trout? All the time or in relation
It's always time to talk about dropping trout.
Yeah.
Anytime you're wearing trousers and talking, there's the potential for dropping the trout.
I see.
But I would say it was at its zenith in later 90s.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And it's not so much a Los Angeles thing, I wouldn't think, is it?
I heard some discussion of dropping trout out here. I don't want to say who said that.
I think people are discussing it.
But here's what morning DJs do is... They just hear a bunch of things and parrot it back. Like, they go, like, I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
It's
not funny.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, they parrot back stuff. Corey?
Yeah?
Think about getting into radio?
I don't know.
Okay, buddy, fair enough. What grade are you in?
Seventh.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm thinking about being an architect.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. That's a nice sterile
job. Go for
that.
That sounds good. Chicks dig it.
Yeah, they do. And it's a sort of non-committal, non-threatening job. A lot of people in sitcoms
artists. Professional makes a living.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
A good combination. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And non-threatening. Like, if a guy's a cop, it's like, I don't know if I want to date a cop.
Yeah. Kind of have to put up with a lot.
Right. There's a bunch of jobs that sort of have that. But architect is very,
tell
me more. Yeah, it's a gay job for straight guys.
There you go.
Yeah, and chicks like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, artistic.
Chicks like the gays.
Get a few bucks back.
Mm-hmm.
Clark?
Yes, sir.
You're 30?
I'm 30.
What's up?
Well, I wanted to talk to you about my problem. This is probably your worst nightmare, Adam, but...
I'm starting to come down now. I'm getting surly, so hurry up.
I haven't had a orgasm for like 5.5 years.
Wow!
And
how come?
Well, I'm a C6 quadriplegic.
All right.
And able to have sex and get a hard on, just not able to have an orgasm.
True. So it's a quadriplegic C6, no arms, no leg use.
C6 might have some shoulder.
I have full arms, just limited finger function.
Yeah. Doesn't that make you paraplegic if you have full arms?
No, he doesn't have full arms. Your arms are still pretty uncoordinated, right?
No, I mean, I have full biceps.
No hands.
How about the hands?
No, the hands are pretty dead.
So that then gets you back into the quad area.
Yeah.
Okay. What happened?
I dove into a shallow pool. Yeah.
You hear that one all the time.
Yeah, it's either that or auto accident.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I'm a cannonball and jackknife man. No, can opener. You know the can opener?
Mm.
Yeah. Do that thing, you grab your knee, and it's a can opener.
Nice. All right, so there's some disruptive of the autonomic nervous system in that area as a result of this.
Correct.
So, and did you get erection spontaneously, or do you have to do injections or anything? Or
They kind of come spontaneously and through touch, but no, not through, like, looking at, you know, a magazine or a porn or something.
Do you ever use assistive devices? Your medicine, do you use Viagra?
You talking about Asians?
Viagra or papaverine injections?
I've tried Viagra and it works pretty well. I just don't want to rely on it.
All right, but no orgasm, so.
Nope.
But do you have any kind of sensation of orgasm?
Not really.
You don't have an indwelling catheter or anything like that?
No. I do self-cath.
Right. I think his phone is a quad too. Mm-hmm. Do you have a girlfriend, a wife?
No, I have a girlfriend. I just, you know, and I know she wants to have kids sometime. I'm just wondering if it's possible to fish that stuff out.
Yeah, they do have ways that they can retrieve sperm.
How do they do that? Shot pack?
No. Well, you can use a shot pack. But they have, I don't know the specific techniques, but they can go in and get it. They can.
I like the term fish it out, though.
Also romantic. It goes with transport.
You gotta fish
it
out
and transport it.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, the rich diversity in life and Scott's green earth. Let's just say this. You know, 10 minutes ago we're talking about too much semen.
Yeah.
It's a nuisance. You got to transport it. Yeah. What are we going to do with it?
Now?
We got a landfill full of semen.
And now
this poor son of a bitch can't get any out.
Can't produce
can't
it.
Get it out.
That would be the greatest day of his life, the what to do with my extra semen.
Mm.
Conundrum that many of the women have on this show, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, Drew?
Yes,
show.
Yeah, uh huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you don't ejaculate, then when would one stop
producing,
or just stop having, like if you're
he still produces sperm, he just won't produce the semen so much. The sperm kind of gets resorbed.
If you were doing it, do you just like at some point go, all right, we're done?
What does he do? We can ask him. Ask him.
How does he know he's done? Yeah, that's my question for a lot of lesbians too, who don't have orgasm.
Well, either I go
Clark?
Till I, either I go till I get soft, or I go till, you know, she's done.
I gotcha.
All right. Do you enjoy yourself?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's.
Can you give her oral sex?
Oh, totally, man.
Oh,
why not?
You're probably good at that, right?
Yeah. Champion, yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you, that's
That means a lot. Yeah, that can...
That means a lot.
It does,
that
right?
Can make up for
I
say this all the time.
Honestly.
Handicapped people are the best employees. They get there early. They overcompensate. They leave late. They don't steal any crap. Show me an able-bodied guy. I'll show you a lazy guy with a bad attitude. Like, look at it this way. Good-looking people are always the worst employees.
Yeah.
You know, the better-looking you are, and that's about the furthest you can be from handicapped. That's the way I look at it. That's the top of the spectrum. Super hot, like, super hot chicks, horrible employees. They really just, they know they don't need to be there. They don't need to listen to you. They can do their own thing.
They get away with everything.
Right. They get away with everything. And guys do that, too. You show me some troll broad, I'll show you a hard worker. And then you bring it all the way down to some, you know, chick who's, you know, has to be pushed around on a gurney and has to operate stuff through a straw and stuff like that. That's a hard worker. That's what I'm saying. And orally, same thing.
So it translates into
good oral sex.
Sexual.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah, let's take the next call real quick.
Once in a while, there's an anomaly. Good-looking guy, suit hangs well off him, still doubles down on the oral, still knows how to play.
You don't trust him, though.
I'm talking about myself.
He's got the
Christ.
Suit on.
We're in the suit. Use your brain, brother.
Well, he's a good look, I know.
It's part of the rant.
Yeah.
Jennifer?
Hi.
You know, women are very, very susceptible to the power of suggestion.
What's up, Jennifer?
Okay, well, I have recently become really interested in gay porn, like male, and I'm straight female, and I'm just kind of wondering, I don't know if it's by coincidence that I just, you know, came across it and started watching it, just realized I was interested, and I always have been, I just now found it out.
What do you mean interested? What does interested mean? Translate that for us.
I get off on it.
Okay. Masturbate to it?
Yes.
What do you mean, but where did you just come across it?
Well, it was one of these package deals where you buy so many videos and they kind of, I don't know if I got it free or how it works like that, but.
Yeah. No. All right. So. You enjoy that. You have a boyfriend?
No.
You think you may be lesbian?
No, not really, and I thought about that. It doesn't really do much for me.
And do you masturbate to the more graphic parts of it?
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
The real serious cornholing stuff, all that act against God nature kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, how old is she?
24.
24. Yeah. All right, what do you think, Dr. Drew?
It takes all kinds. That's what I say.
Well, whatever gets you going.
I have no specific read on that.
Once in a while, half the time something's up with someone like this, and then half the time she just takes
just
it.
Sometimes a cigar is just a good smoke.
That's right. As Freud was known to say. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Buddy, that's a show. All right, well, now I'm sober. Nowhere to go. Or at least getting there. I want to thank Cheryl Hines for coming in here tonight.
Oh, I'd like to thank you, gentlemen, for having me.
You do not disappoint.
Oh, Adam.
I was looking forward to meeting you, and then I got drunk and forgot you were coming in. To be honest with you, but I'm glad you're
thank
here.
Thank you for your honesty.
Some crappy band from England or something give me a hard time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to tolerate that
better.
Tonight.
Much
yeah. All right, so Curb Your Enthusiasm, HBO, around 10 o'clock, and
Sunday.
Just find it. It's really best comedy on TV. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. I know what the ladies like; they like giving me oral.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.